reward. Lord. Hallelujah.
Well, you know, I just can't resist saying it every time we sing, Take It All. When you give it to God, leave it there. Amen. You gave it to Him, quit taking it back. Amen. Your worries, you know what worries get you? A hole in your stomach. I ain't found anything that worries do. Sleepless nights. Just let Him have it. What's going on in the world today? He already knew it was going to happen. It's nothing new. Even as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Don't worry about it. Do your responsible duties. Go vote. Did anybody miss that? In case you missed my post yesterday, go vote. You can go vote early. They have times. Go check them out at the annex up by the hospital. But anyhow, praise God. We serve the King of Kings. You know, I when I saw the song list here this morning, beautiful songs, beautiful. I had to run back. I wanted to look at a piece of paper I had on my desk, and I went back, and my phone's flashing. I had a message. Well, it was spam text. Anybody else getting those? Lord have mercy. And anyhow, when I cleared it, my Pandora station was still up. Fortunately, it wasn't playing because it might try to connect to any Bluetooth around. But the song King of Kings was what the last one. And I just thought, Lord, what a time for us to be declaring that yes, we may have a president, there may be chancellors, there may be rulers of other countries around this world, but there's only one King of Kings. One. Nobody else can claim that title. And we serve the King of Kings, the Creator of all things. Ladies and gentlemen, if that doesn't give you hope, I don't know what else is going to give you hope. It certainly isn't a book. If the King of Kings cannot give you hope, you don't know the King of Kings. So that is our job as this body, is to bring people in and encourage them to get to know the King of Kings. Know who He is. He is not some tyrannical king who's sitting on a throne saying, off with your head. Cut his tongue out. I didn't point to him on purpose, I swear. He is not doing that. So I want you to learn who the King of Kings is. I've come to know Him. Yeah. As the one who's looking out for me. When I do stupid things, you know, you don't think about this. When you do stupid things, you drug the Holy Spirit there with you. Yeah. You drug Jesus there with you. You weren't there by yourself. He was right there with you. He didn't want to be, but you wouldn't listen. Anyhow, I gotta watch that I don't start getting into my message or preaching or doing any things. But I want you to know who the King of Kings is. He's the one that the King of Saudi Arabia will bow down to. He's the one that the President of the United States will bow down to. The President of Russia. The dictator of China and Korea. He's the one they're all going to bow to. Anyhow, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You that You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of all things. Father, we come before You today humbly, presenting our tithe and our offerings. Lord, as Your servant here on this earth, I receive them and I bless them. Father, according to your word, as you said in Malachi, as you said in all the throughout the Bible about the tithe. Father, we bless it now, and we receive your blessing into our lives because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, ma'am. Okay, quickly.
Okay, at this time, you know, this month, along with today being a special time of celebration for the 19 years for At His Feet, this month is also Pastor Appreciation Month. And so I had asked you to, if you could and wanted to please write some words down that would just encourage our pastor and even share maybe what he has taught you or whatever. And so at this time, if those could be brought forward, and you don't have to read them at this time, at your leisure. He's like a deer in the headlights, like, oh, no, you're going to make me fall. No. At your leisure, we just want to tell you that we appreciate you and we love you. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pastor, locked in this strong box is words and messages from your flock, so.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm not going to read them right now. I can promise you that right now. Something does happen when you get older, become a grandpa. I don't know what it is. You definitely are not what you were at 20. All right, so at this point, the junior church is dismissed. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, praise God. As they're gathering up. Well, as I have got to open this jacket up, I'm sorry. I walked out of the hallway and into the sanctuary back here, and it was just like, I told Joe back there, I said, it's hot in here. Some of you I'm cold-blooded, okay? I am cold-blooded, and I think it's hot. So, but anyway, that's why the fans are on high, because it's really hot up here. But anyhow, as I've been thinking about this, you know, what all this represents today, you know, 19 years, you know, a lot of water has passed under the bridge in 19 years. We've seen little kids grow up, get married, become parents of their own. We've watched our own kids move into that realm. And I've had the privilege of being a part of that. You know, I mean, now we've got a whole nother generation. Their families were three generations deep. And we're bringing our children up in the admonition of the Lord. Something that is lost today. Because people are sick of religion. They want God. God is not religion. He's not a set way of doing things. He's got his ways. They are his ways. But we have put God in a box. And in the 19 years that I've been the pastor of this church, I tell you, I am not the same person today as I was 19 years ago. 19 years ago, I stood up in front of 12 people, 11 people, because I was one of the 12. With the little stand that is back there with the flowers on it as my pulpit. In my dining room, holding onto the edge of that thing. And I had spent 3 hours the night before typing out every word I was going to say. We recorded it. And I just remember after the first one was done, I was like, that's out of the way. Today, I come up with a sticky note on my Bible for the scripture so I stay in track with what the Holy Spirit is wanting to say. I've trusted God to put the words into my mouth. That's scriptural, by the way. I've watched so many of you go through things. Deaths. Life. And we have been proud of you. Yeah, you may call us and think I'm bothering you. You're not bothering us. That's our job. And I've watched people grow in their faith. People who have, some didn't know Jesus before. Some of them had a little bit of taste of religion and it left a bitter taste to them because they didn't know who God is. That God's a loving father. That in the parable of the prodigal son, he's the father. And we've watched people come. We've sent people around, at least the country. We've sent some people to other countries on a couple of occasions. I've even got to go. So this little body in Mount Gilead, Ohio, a county that other people around the counties call Moron County. I actually was at a place the other day and the guy said, "Now, where are you from?" And I said, "Mount Gilead." "Oh, Moron County." There was a time in life I wouldn't have thought anything about that. But I'm not going to lie. Because see, when I left home, I wasn't coming back. It was done. But God put a love, started putting a love for people that I did not have. And when that guy said that, I didn't bite on the offense, but my flesh and spirit had a race, we'll just put it that way. And the Marine in me was starting to rise up. And God said, "Just drop it." He meant nothing by it. Because I had called this place Moron County at one time. And now, I look. When God called us back here, he called us back for the people of this county. And when we came back, we didn't know what we were going to do. I just knew working jobs just didn't seem to be working out. Places were closing down and laying off. And I was like, "Okay, what's going on, Lord?" Well, I know now. God had greater things for us. And when we came back, he told us before we ever left North Carolina that we would be ministering. That we would minister as others have not. And, you know, and I thought, "Oh yeah, Angela's going to, she's going to be singing," because I was her sound man. Well, that's what we thought. And then God threw a curveball. And he showed me how over the years he had been preparing. Not necessarily her, she was already ready. To a degree, I'll give her that. She was singing, she could get up in front of people and sing. I have to get up in front of people and talk. Trust me, it's different talking to people sitting here who can get up and leave as it is opposed to Marines who are locked in a formation and have to do what you say. And so we've been privileged to watch you all grow. Watch God prove himself time and time again faithful. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful daddy. I know some of you, your daddies weren't so faithful. He'll never walk out. Never. We sing the song, "He's a good, good father." I don't think the word "good" can even do it justice because of how marvelous he really is. as I was sitting here last night, even thinking about it, I thought, Lord, what am I going to, what kind of things can I do that's going to leave an impression on people? Well, apparently I left somewhat of an impression. I don't know what might be in that box. Because I've had some people close to me said, do you know how mad you've made me? You're welcome. Because the reality is, folks, the truth is not easy to swallow, is it? We were eating dinner last night, Angela and Justin and I, and the guy behind us, I think he had had one too many of those beers that was about that tall. He just didn't understand that everybody in the restaurant could hear his conversation with his family, but he was talking about liars. He says, I can't stand liars. Am I the only one? I despise liars. I know when you're lying. And it drives me nuts. How hard is the truth? How hard is it to just tell the truth? I'm not talking about if your wife says, does this make me look fat? Gentlemen, there is no safe answer for that. Just turn around and walk away. Because if it does, you're lying. And if you tell her the truth, you're dead. But, ladies, do all of us husbands a favor. Don't ask that question. There. And what is the saying? Ask me no questions, I tell you no lies. No, but the truth. We're craving the truth, but the problem is people are wanting the truth and they're pushing so far away from the false reality that was that they're adapting another false reality right now. They're calling this the new reality. I don't want this. I want people to be free. They don't want to be told the truth. Preachers have been afraid to tell the truth. I don't fear for my job. I will tell you the truth. Sin is sin. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. He is not God was one way yesterday, changes today, and forever. He is yesterday, today, and tomorrow the same person. What was sin then is sin now. Nothing's changed. But in the last 19 years, it's been an interesting thing. Now, I know we've got some people next door, but I would like real quick, if you were in the original service, please stand up. Yeah, Joshua's next door teaching kids. Okay. Well, I probably should have had y'all remain standing because all of you have obviously gone through the whole thing. But if you were with us at Douglas Street, please stand up. That was the building before this. Okay, you got a baby. You're Phil and Cheryl, Pat and Brenda, which Jesse, Justin. Actually, Justin, you were not. Nope, you were.
Yeah, I was.
Well, he was there. Oh, yeah, I was still. Yeah, you're right. You're good, buddy. Yeah. See, a lot of things have changed in 19 years. All right, now you look around. And all these people. And there's a bunch of people missing today. We've had several surgeries. Harold's seeing his dad down in North Carolina, his 91-year-old father. Yeah, go see him. But we've got lots of people right now. Pat and Brenda were with us over there. We've got some people that are still on lockdown. We got Brian Thompson has had surgery this week, which he's doing good. We still got some people out right now. And some of them were with us there and here. And in all of that, ladies and gentlemen, we have seen people find a stronger walk with God. That's been our purpose. It's not been to build a big fancy building. This by no means is a fancy building. It was a machine shop. Two press brakes right there, a CNC machine right here, welders all around, brown ceiling from the smoke, cutting torches, tables. And this was the clean building. We've been working ever since then to get the next two areas over there cleaned up. But with everything that has happened, we've wondered, God, what's our purpose? Mount Gilead, Morrow County did not need another church. Look in the paper. There's one whole page dedicated. They put it in such tiny print, you actually got to have a magnifying glass to see your own name. I'm just making sure they're still spelling it right. God didn't need another church, but he needed this one. Because we each have a purpose. Every church has its own purpose. And any church that stops fulfilling that purpose, the word says that if that branch dies, it's cut off and thrown into the fire. It's burned. And so somebody asked me one time, what is our purpose? Are you gonna create this great big ministry in Mount Gilead and just take over the village? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't even tell people I'm a pastor until it comes up. What do you do? First off, I've told you. As soon as I tell people I'm a preacher, they just told me what they did last weekend. Then the next word, John, oh, praise Jesus, I just love going to church. Maybe you should have been in church last weekend. But you know what? I know what our purpose is. The devil has fought tooth and toenail to keep this church down. He was able to take out a spirit-filled church before with greed. In a nutshell, that's what did it. We have now been around longer than that previous ministry. And I don't say that braggadociously. I say that because it's because of you. Because without you, I can't do my job. Oh, Pastor, somebody... No, listen, the bathrooms, the chairs, the kids, that's all a different deal. It did not really... I mean, I always knew that the metaphor I use as far as the tip of the spear, I always got it. But last year, I really got it. Because you see, it was on our actual anniversary last year that the devil tried to kill me or paralyze me. The doctor told me that my spinal cord, my vertebrae had shifted, and the break was about a hair's width away from being severed. I like walking. I like climbing. And I don't know about you. Well, and by the way, if you think that depression is a made-up thing, you're nuts. once I got past that, and I could only do it because people were praying, there's a new fire lit in me. No, I'm not going to run around here shouting and all this stuff. I'm the quiet one. To a degree. My wife just made a funny face. I say that I'm the quiet one that when you can push me so far, and then when I unleash, you're going to wonder what happened. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the devil pushed too far. I have been praying more aggressively for this country, for this village, for this county, against the drug trade, against the human trafficking. That's the things we're here for. If you just want religion, that's fine. But if you want the power that God gave you, welcome home. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not paying attention, you've been here, war on the floor, you see us, we pray against human trafficking, against drugs. And within a week or two, there is usually a big bust right around us. Well, that just happened. Do you know who you serve? You serve a mighty God. He's the King of Kings. He just needs his servants to actually employ the weapons he gave them. And I like weapons. I understand that metaphor Paul was given because of the military, man. But you can keep your spear, you can keep your shield, you can keep your little sword. I'll take my machine gun. I'll take my body armor. I'll take the howitzers. I'll take the tanks. Because that's the kind of spiritual warfare you're really in. It wants to destroy your life. Now, I do have some scriptures. Because the one thing I asked God, I said, God, again, what about it? What about this date? You know, October 14th, 2001. We were just over a month out from 9/11. The country was still reeling. We still couldn't believe it had just happened. And we were like, God, how could this happen in this country? Because of evil men. And we're not getting into conspiracy theories, evil men, period. And oftentimes I say, God, what about what we're doing here? You know, we've laid hands on a man who died right here in this sanctuary. Brenda can testify he had no pulse. She's out right now. And he opened his eyes. This was all happening during praise and worship. We didn't stop praise and worship because we need that. You need praise and worship. But we laid hands on him. We've seen miracle after miracle. I told you last year, ladies, didn't I? I said you'd be celebrating Mother's Day. There they are. I didn't. That was just what God told me to tell you. That was it. I don't claim to be a prophet. Lord, have mercy. I don't really want that pressure. But I'll say what God tells us to say. Uh-oh. Oh. But in Mark chapter 14, verse 3, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, As he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head, Jesus' head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted?" They still didn't get he was the King of Kings, the Son of God. For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor, and they criticized her sharply. You want an idea what it was? About a year's wages. So we'll call it $30,000 that she just poured over the Messiah's head. And the religious jumped up and said, "We could have fed the poor." But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has done beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." The things God has done through this body will be told. Hey, there was this little church in a place called Mount Gilead. Y'all get that when you're talking to somebody on the phone? How hard is it? And they did this. See, one of our burns is the shoeboxes. And we send out as many as we can because we know they go out throughout the entire world. And those little kids that are opening these up, they are touched by somebody in Mount Gilead, Ohio. And what you have done because of your participation in that stands as a memorial to that one person. Every person you pray for, you stand as a memorial. What you've prayed stands as a memorial. I'm not interested in starting and having a mega church. Absolutely not. I want the people God wants me to have. I want people who want God, not religion. That was my cry when I gave my heart back to God. I don't want to know you. Through a book, through a preacher, through my wife, anybody else, I want to know you. And by the way, folks, I'm still learning who he is. I'll never fully understand and know all of God until I'm standing there face to face. But what Jesus said, the thing she has done will stand wherever the gospel is preached as a memorial. Today, folks, here, that was in Bethany in Israel. We're in Mount Gilead, Ohio. And we just preached the gospel. And we just brought up her memorial that can never be torn down because somebody's offended. Year to date, this body, and I do not tell you this to be bragging, but year to date, this body has sown into the kingdom, back into the kingdom of God, for the purpose of spreading the gospel around this world, $240,000. That's a little church that has no support from anywhere else. But here, oh, wait a minute. And I look for that number to just keep climbing. Because I've told you, for me, it's not about the numbers. I'll preach whether there's one or 1,000. I'll still do what I have to do. But you have been a part of that. You need to understand that memorial that is standing there now, you are a part of it. See, there's nobody here that I'm aware of. I'm looking around, there's nobody old enough in here who has any part of the victory shaft. Is there? It doesn't mean the same to us as it did to that group of people who raised all that money for those war bonds. That meant something to them. But we don't have any part in it. But when you are sharing the gospel, when we give to help spread the gospel, to feed the homeless, to help abused wives and children, you have a memorial that will stand forever. So don't think, all I just do is go to church. That's just like saying all I can do is pray. And if you don't believe in the power of prayer, let me help you out. God is waiting for you to pray. You want a challenge? I always like to give you a challenge. Here's your challenge. Ask God. Ask Him for what you've been afraid to ask. Now, you might be wanting to hold on to your shoes in the event He says no. We don't like to hear that. We just think it's an unanswered prayer. No, He said no, and you're not wanting to hear it. Honestly, we don't hear that from God. We tune it out. But the last 19 years has changed me as who I am. I believe it's made me a better person. You were a part of that. You've helped me see the hand of God clearer. And when you've rejoiced, we've rejoiced. And when you cried, we cried. And anymore, it seems like I cry all the time. Not because of bad things, just because of the doggone emotions. Now, this service isn't going to be long today. But I want you to understand there's a memorial that is set forth because you're a part of this. Well, there's no statue out front. There's no nothing. There's not even a cross on the building. Yeah. So what? Does there have to be a cross on the building? You do know the cross wasn't adopted until 300 years after. Right. You do understand that. Don't get bent out of shape because there's no cross. I don't need a cross. I got the blood. And it goes with me everywhere I go. Now, having said that, we have a couple things we're going to do. I've already done the standing up, but there's one thing I wanted to tell you today. And I'll do this because we have some of our congregants watching online. This is our mortgage. We own this building free and clear. If you've ever paid anything off, you know how quickly the bank does not move to get you your title. You miss a payment, they're on you the next day. But we've been told it could be up to about 90 days before we have the title. So it's not a big deal. But we wanted to do this because it's early. We weren't supposed to pay it off until November. We actually paid it off 2 weeks ago. So, I want you to understand how good God is. I wanted to pay it off early. And in my head, you know, I wanted to pay it off super early. But God said, just trust me. It's still early. Early is early. So I don't care. But, yeah, we can do that in a minute. Yeah. Okay. But we also want to share a meal. You know, so many people, they don't get the meal sharing thing. You share a meal to get to know people. Henry Ford, before he chose an executive, he'd take them to eat. Most of you heard the story as to why. He wanted to see whether they salted their food before they tasted it. And if they did, he didn't hire them, because they didn't see what it was first. They just automatically. Now, if Henry Ford were alive today and eating out, he would know. They do not salt anything in the restaurants anymore. So you got to salt it. But it was a time in which they sat down. Look in your Bible and see how many times. What was happening here at the house of Simon the leper? Oh, wait a minute. They were having dinner. Jesus had a dinner with his disciples the night he was betrayed. And he said, I've looked forward to having this dinner with you. Because he knew what it represented. What God has done in this community, whether he tarries another year or another 100 years, is immaterial. God is eternal. I honestly really do challenge you to sit down and do the math on if a day in the Lord is as 1,000 years. See how long how quick a second goes by to God, and how long it is in your world. And you'll see God's really he's not slow on anything. So Angela's getting the drummer. And we're going to sing this song, Good, Good Father. Because he is a good father. And in spite of what is happening in the world, remember, I've told you to pray. Pray for your leaders. Pray. What's going on in this country has always been going on in this country. We can be grateful that they aren't carrying firearms. Because which presidents was it, Joe? The duels? Yeah. We got presidents shot at people. Hey, you know what? So he's got a loose mouth. It wasn't lead flying down range. We'll bring in the kids too. So this morning, I want you to examine your life and think about the things that God has done, where you've come from. What has he done in your life? Oh, but Lord, but Pastor, you don't understand. My life is a wreck. Welcome to the club. I think everybody's life is a little bit of a wreck. You cannot focus on the garbage that's in your life right now. You got to look beyond it. You ever heard of the 1,000-yard stare? It's where you don't focus on what's in front of you, but what's way, way out there. People have asked, how did you get through Marine boot camp? You know, you got a drill instructor right there. He's spitting on your face. He's hitting you with his cover. He's calling you names. You stare a hole through the back of his head. You don't focus on what's happening. All you do is yell, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Until he changes it up and asks you a stupid question, and then you say, yes, sir, and then you're sunk. But don't focus on the garbage. All right, if you want to bring your band up. You know, it's really been an honor. I was thinking about this back here when we were singing earlier. As I'm looking up here, there's actually only two families represented here. And there's actually one missing, part of that family. And, you know, Joshua was 5. No, he had already turned 6, hadn't you? He had turned 6 when we started this church. Jesse was 1 year old. 17, okay. I'm a man. It's 1 year. Women, they'll give you the month, almost to the day, and even the hour sometimes. Guys, he's 1 year old. But you know, here they are now, singing beside their mother. And then Katie and her family, they moved in, what, about 12 years ago? About 12 years ago. I mean, Carsey was just a little. They were all little. I mean, just married Kayla off a couple weeks ago to another guy that was just little. You know, a lot has happened. A lot has happened. God has done a lot. All right, I am going to shut up, grab this, and I'm going to step down.